And this one's not hard to find, right?
All right.
Go to chapter 20. Just take a little time. Go to chapter 20. And we're going to read. No, let's see. Where is? We do this at the 8 o'clock service. We have other servants to read the scripture. And I think we'll start doing that at some of our services here. I need a strong reader.
Amen.
Amen. God bless. I want you to start, if you will, at verse 2 in chapter 20. And again, that's the book of Exodus. Take a moment. Going to read from in chapter 20. Going to ask you to read from verse 2 to verse 6 in just a moment. Anybody need more time to find it? Will you say wait?
Wait.
Okay, we have ushers and deacons will be happy to help you find that scripture. Chapter 20, book of Exodus. Genesis, Exodus, second book in the Bible. Take your time. We're okay. We're okay. We're not in a hurry. God waits for us.
Amen.
All right.
We can wait for one another. Amen.
That's right.
Again, book of Exodus.
I just need you to be on my hand. No, you got
it. All right. So if you start reading at verse 2 and read through verse 6, we'd be so grateful.
I am reading from the King James Version.
Amen.
I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images,
yeah,
or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath,
mm-hmm,
or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God,
yeah,
visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me,
yeah,
and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for reading that for us. God is a mighty good God.
Yes.
I know I don't have to tell you, God is still calling. God is still calling is what I share with you. And I want you to know that God has work for all of us to do.
Amen.
This morning from this set of scriptures, going to speak from this subject for a few moments. The God for men and women.
Right.
Will you say that after me? The God
for
men and women. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Edith, it's so funny. At one time, there was not a grandchild. Now he leads her around the church. God is good. God is good. The God for men and women. And there are three things that we'll share with you and talk about regarding this set of scriptures. First, God's gathering. God's gathering. Secondly, we're going to talk about God's message. And thirdly, we'll talk about God's timeline. God's gathering, God's message, God's timeline. Thank you. As we look at the scripture, you may be seated. You know, like a lot of you, I love the church. God has been so good over the years. I don't mean life has been perfect, but I mean God's been good. Will somebody testify? You know that God is the reason you're here today. Amen. I look and we're missing some members this morning. And my prayer is that wherever they are, whether they're traveling or whatever, that they find church today. We're not the only church in the world that believes in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Will you say
that?
And so as we worship together, we want to enjoy and have a good time. I tell y'all all the time, I think I talk about this a lot. Every Christmas Eve, our family gets together. My wife likes to make gumbo. We have a limited menu. It's gumbo and it's desserts. That's it. And they come from, I mean, they come from all over. And usually we have 50, 60 people at the house 27 straight years. And it's a lot of work. And some of y'all know it's a lot of work when you're preparing for other people. And so I told my wife, honey, it's time to turn that over to somebody else. She said, no. It's my gift. To the family. She wasn't feeling her best today. I miss her. So this lesson is for all of us. We need to stay close to God. And we do that by staying close to one another. Don't let your family slip away. There's good work that we all can do. I see y'all and you look so good and smiles on your faces. That's because of church. That's because of God.
All right.
There are people in the world who don't know who God is. And so for you and for me and for those who are believers, it's time for us to reach out and wrap up some of the people who we know and help them know who God is. There's no substitute for God. He's the God for men and women. I want you to look at these scriptures that were read so well for us. Starting from verse 2, it says, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. This is New American Standard. Out of the house of slavery. Do we recognize, church, that without God, we are enslaved to the world? Without God in our life, we don't know where we're going. We don't know where we've been. I've had experience in my life. You wake up and say, what's going on? Am I going up the stairs? Or am I coming down? It takes God to give us direction when we're in a place like that. The God for men and women. So let's talk about God's gathering. First, I believe that God brings us all together. At his own time, his discretion, we didn't just accidentally get up this morning and say, I'm going to church.
All right.
We believe God guides that process. Amen? Amen. Heard Reverend Drumgoole as he was talking, and after dealing with a great loss like that, he recognizes God is in control. God's gathering. God knows how to bring us together. God knows how to keep our spirits up when things may not be perfect even in our life. That's because he is holy. He's wise. He knows everything, and he can be at every place at the same time. Isn't God good? He is a mighty good God. We come to this time of the year, and it's a blessing because I still declare that around this time of the year, and this is around the world, people are closer than they normally are. People actually smile at you who don't know you because it's just something in the air, I guess you might say,
right,
where God is letting us know life can be better,
yes,
with him guiding our life. Now, it's not going to be better if we don't let God guide. Because sometimes we think we're in control. We think we're running something, and we're not. It takes God. God's gathering. And so the scriptures would tell us here, you shall have no other God, in verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. What is God saying? Well, it's pretty clear. No other God before me. You all know we can make anything into a god, into an idol, There are people in the world who worship the sun. There are some who worship the stars. There are some who worship other people. Now, don't get me wrong. God can allow us to elevate people. There's nothing wrong with saying, this is a person who I want to see do well. We're on that person's side. We want to see them excel and just have a following in the world. Nothing wrong with that. But we have to be careful that we don't elevate somebody to the level of being worshipped. We may not believe it, but we can worship our children. We can worship family members. We can worship whatever. Put your name there. We can turn anybody into a god if we're not careful. So what is God saying? What is the problem with elevating somebody? As long as we don't worship the person, that's good. If we start to worship, then that's not what God wants. God said, don't put anybody, and also he means anything, ahead of him. He said, you shall not make for yourselves an idol, in verse 4, or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters under the sea. First, God is telling us he's in control of everything. Not just the church house. There are people who seem to think that the church house is the church, and it's not. It is a part of it. The church is where? In us. We carry the church around with us. We are indwelt for believers. You are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. There shouldn't be any question of whether I'm going to do wrong or do right. Right is the only way that goes for God. But how do we put God first and everything else second? It takes dedication. It takes commitment. This passage in Exodus, you probably know it, focuses on the Ten Commandments. Yes. It's when the Ten Commandments were going to be given to the people of God. And so you ask yourself, what was the value of the Ten Commandments? Well, God wanted to give us some guidelines to live by.
All right.
I'm not telling anybody here that when you join a church, when you get committed to God, that you never make a mistake. We're not saying that. But God can give us guidelines that we can use in our life to be better men and women. Do we believe that? And as we gather here this morning, I think about it. There are people here with a testimony. I feel the testimony in their lives about how God has taken care of them. We're not alone. But our work, our job is to build up others who are around us. That means, church, that we got to stop walking on people. We got to stop turning our nose up at people. And we got to learn how to live the way God wants us to live. In harmony. The Ten Commandments brought harmony into the lives of the children of Israel. Now, God explained clearly to them, you're not perfect. You're going to make some mistakes. I wonder how many church people recognize that you still make mistakes after you join the church. I wonder how many of us recognize that God doesn't need us. Listen to me now. He does not need us. He loves us, but what I mean is that God can handle everything by himself. But he chooses to work through men and women. Asking for a volunteer today to read, it's not a mistake that someone would volunteer, because we know God can use us if we are available. So beside the gathering, look at what the scripture tells us here. God's message. God's message to the children of Israel was that here's a list of things, and I want you to try and do your best to keep my commandments. God recognized they couldn't keep all the law. They couldn't keep the commandments. It was not possible. That's why we were going to go to Jesus Christ, because he would fulfill the law through his teaching. But at this time, we have the Ten Commandments. If I ask church people today, how many of us know what the Ten Commandments actually say? Some people might not be so quick to say, I know what they say. And then if I ask somebody, well, give me the fourth commandment. Might be a little puzzlement there. I can read them, but I might not know them. God wants us to know them and put them to work in our life. And so this thing about God saying, I don't want you to have any other God before you. We have to be careful. My early life, I used to think so highly of, and still do, Muhammad Ali. Now, I recognize he wasn't a Christian, but there were things that I liked about his life. He was courageous, and I believe that God used him for a different work. Had a chance to meet him. He came to Texas Southern University one year. He was having a fight here in Houston, and he took time out to come down to the university, to the rec center where we were playing ping pong. And man, the place just broke up. But he took time to take pictures and sign autographs. Still got his autograph at home. And I mention that because we may not know exactly how God will use somebody in our lives. So we have to be careful that we don't put somebody down when God is raising them up. God is a mighty good God. And if we keep that in mind, it's going to be good. I know this week I found my son is going to go to New York City next week and get a chance to play in New York for the New Year's. I thank God for that. But I have to be careful not to elevate him, not to worship, because God knows what we need more than we do. Is that right? And I say all that because we want church to be meaningful for us. Church ought to be alive. Church ought to be a happy place. Church ought to be about bonding and coming together like we don't do with anybody else. I ought to get along better with my church members than I get along with folks I work with. Would somebody say amen? Amen? I ought to be able to have a smile on my face when I come to church. Amen. Deliver me from the person to come to church just to see who's there. That's not what God wants from us. He wants our service. As he's going through the Ten Commandments and sharing those with the children of Israel, it reminds me that we need the commandments today. And we get them through the teaching of Jesus Christ. Said Jesus came to fulfill the law. The way Jesus actually explained it, he said, I didn't come to destroy the law, including the Ten Commandments. I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to what? Fulfill it. Make it whole. Make it meaningful. Make it understandable. I tell my group of ministers, I meet with ministers throughout the city every month, and I tend to be, I think, critical sometimes, because I think that there are even times when church folk don't understand what God is asking of us. God doesn't give us credit for showing up at church. Would somebody say amen? You know, I can check the box and okay, I did this. No, it's got to be more than that. It's got to be a sincere commitment to let God lead us. That's what God's looking for. Whose life is being changed because they have God in their life. That's what God is looking for. And he's a God for men and women. And I say that because part of our adjustment, part of what we got to get used to is that God has always used women in the Bible. He's always, this is not new. Sometimes people look and say, oh, you recognize women as preachers. No, God recognizes women as preachers. That's what I see in my study of the Bible. And I back that up by sharing with people, when you look at the mission of the church, it's defined by the Great Commandment. the Great Commission, where Jesus himself teaches, and he teaches them what the church is all about. He said, go ye therefore. Go where, God? Go all over the world. And do what, God? Teach the people what I taught you.
Amen.
Paraphrasing. Yes. Teach them what I taught you. And what God is saying, when you read it and study it, you'll find no gender reference. He's sending everybody.
Amen.
He's sending every believer without regard to gender.
All right.
Now, if that's what Jesus is saying, who am I to say I'm not going to recognize one group or another? No, it's time for us church to realize God is who this is all about. God is who this Christian walk is about. When he said, don't put any other God before me, you and I have to look at our lives and see if we are toeing the line, so to speak. Is there anybody in our life that we worship? Is there anybody in the world who we worship?
Right.
Now, what is that worship? Putting them ahead of God.
That's right.
I saw a story a couple of days ago. It said somebody in California won more than $1 billion in the lottery. And I'm just thinking, good for them. Hope they use it well. Because no matter who we are, if we will take what we have and use it well and use it for God, God is going to be pleased. Would somebody say amen?
Amen?
God is a holy God. We see that from the giving of the Ten Commandments, but he's also a loving God and a forgiving God. If it wasn't for God's forgiveness, where would we be? And so we look and we see that God is a God for everybody. I tell my children all the time, you got to keep growing. You got to keep maturing. You got to keep striving for the best. And sometimes we miss the mark. I remember I took a Spanish class in high school. 11th grade was the first time. And I liked the language, but didn't stay with it. It was 10 years before I got back to Spanish. But I made up in my mind I'm going to be fluent. I want to understand people. And God has allowed me to travel and be able to speak to people in other countries and do sermons in other languages. That's just God. I'm grateful for it because all of us have a mission. All of us have a work. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
The God for men and women. And so the last thing in this set of scriptures is not just God's message, but God's timeline. If I ask you the question, when does God want us to learn how to work together? What would the answer be? Right now. God is a right now God. See, sometimes we put things off. I was putting stuff off. I remember my wife tells the story all the time. I used to play tennis. I don't know. I thought I was off the ash or something. And going to be in the, you know, the big times. And one day I was out and my car broke down. And when I got back home, she said, you know you ought to be in church. That hit me. It's time to put off everything else and get busy for the Lord. And the way God worked it out, never turn back.
That's right.
Because he is a good God.
Right.
And so I share with you this morning, church, it may be the holidays, there may be people on vacation, there may be people in other places, but you and I am here.
Amen.
Can we praise God for being here? Yes, we can. We can praise God because you and I decided to get up this morning and get dressed and go to the church house. Yes, you can watch it on the big screen and live streaming, nothing wrong with that, because sometimes we just can't physically get to a place. But when you're able to give God the praise, you ought to be willing to raise your hand. You ought to be willing to say amen. You ought to be willing to shout hallelujah from time to time, because God is a good God, and God's the same God. Here he's working with the children of Israel and sharing the commandments, but it's for us too. We who are here today, And look at how these scriptures close up that were read for us. Say, you shall not worship them in verse 5 or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a what? Jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. Wow. But showing love and kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. It's not enough just to go to church. We got to keep his commandments. Somebody's saying, well, you just said the Ten Commandments have evolved into Jesus' teaching. Yes. So that's what we keep. We know Jesus' teaching. We know what Jesus says about loving one another. Closing with this thought. It's good to love God, but God says you can't love me who you've never seen. And you can't get along with your brother and sister who are you around every day. So it's just time for we as church folk to recognize, instead of looking for that great experience with God, look for that great experience of coming together with one another. Do you know your neighbor? Do you know that person who sits next to you sometime? Do we really know that person who sings with me in the choir? Or who is an usher? Or who is a deacon? And if our answer is no, then it's time for us to get on the job. Give God a chance to guide your life. Give God a chance to show that he loves you as much as anybody else. Because he is a mighty good God. And don't wait till next month. I say this all the time. Don't wait till next year to affiliate with the church. Why, preacher? Help me, somebody. Because tomorrow is not promised. What we've got is today. What we've got is right now. Before I leave the church today, I'd like to shake somebody's hand who have not had a chance to shake their hand. God loves us. God loves you and me. He wants the best for us. Don't put it off, church. Let's lift up a holy God. Let's thank God for who he is, because tomorrow is not promised. I know I've got one person, maybe two people, who are willing to share the good news. Do I have one person who would testify that God is good? Don't fool me now. I'm looking for one person. Just raise your hand. You testify that God is good. That God is good. Out loud now. Amen. Take your time, Sister Paulette. Good morning. Good morning. Is that mic on?
Yes, sir. I'm just so grateful God is good.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, we are the branch, but he is the vine.